Welcome, my friends. Good morning. Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Friday. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm not awake yet.
You're not awake
No.
yet? Late night, early morning. Well, yeah. If you guys need anything to amp you up, the attention factor works really good. That's always a stack that I, one of my personal favorites, the attention factor with the purple sticks. Yeah, try it in a can yet. I've got some good feedback on that.
I've got some protein with my, I didn't do this. I didn't do the attention factor this morning.
You want some?
No. I want to sleep tonight.
What is that?
No, that stuff works great, but I just have to, man.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but I just try not to do that one because that one has a tendency. I mean, the one night I was sitting there, one, and then two, and then three,
the
and
ceiling.
Then four. I had had it like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Finally, about five in the morning, I thought, probably don't need to take that after like 7 a.m. When I had my pilot exam, that's what I did. I took it at 6.
Hey, it worked.
Six.
Oh,
my
you
God.
You passed.
Oh,
aced it.
The absolute, yeah, I did. The most grueling pilot exam I think ever given to anybody. I have no idea why. I know why he did it. I had a high-performance airplane. I'm taking a performance.
Yeah, you want to make sure you knew what you were doing.
And he wanted to see what would happen if I flew up into the mountains, up into the clouds, and make sure I could control. No, he did.
I know.
And he wasn't signing off on nothing unless he knew I could handle that airplane.
Well, this is another new update now with Children's Health. They said, why is type 2 diabetes becoming a young person's disease? Worldwide, the number of obese children now outweighs that of underweight children.
And whoa.
Look at this.
You're saying that we have more children obese than not obese now.
That's what they're saying here in this article. They're saying more children are obese than underweight. About 188 million young people worldwide are living with overweight or obesity now.
188 million.
And it's a very common to start developing type 2 diabetes very early on. This isn't type 1. It's type 2.
Syndrome X is what they used to call it, Syndrome X, but this really is type 2 diabetes.
It says an alarming trend, kids diagnosed at ages 10 to 13, because I've seen as young as kids 6 years old.
High fructose corn syrup.
6 years old with type 2. It says more concerning is how quickly the condition advances. It's faster in kids. If you have an insulin resistance as a teenager, so we're talking about Syndrome X, adolescent kids or preteen, it progresses to type 2 diabetes faster than adults. The earlier type 2 diabetes develops, the higher risk of lifelong risk of serious complications such as blindness, amputation, and death from kidney or heart failure, especially if they start having to go on heavy amounts of insulin. It says ultra-processed foods now accounts for up to 70% of the daily calories for many children with toddlers. Oh, excuse me. Toddlers are getting roughly half their calories from ultra-processed foods now.
Toddlers. How can they possibly?
Toddlers. They're not going to the store to buy this food.
The worst that I've ever seen, I was in church one Sunday morning. I'll never forget this. And a lady's behind me, and she's got this kid screaming that's about 6 months old. And she's got a bottle in his mouth feeding him soda.
Coca-Cola.
Now, you know, if I hadn't seen that with my own eyes.
I was there.
You were there.
Yeah.
If I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. Because, I mean, you know, there's ignorance, then there's that.
Then there's that.
I've never heard such thing. I mean, but she really thought she was doing good, giving him high fructose corn syrup soda as food.
And this ties in exactly what I keep saying. This is at the same time kids are physically moving less and spending more time in front of screens, with teenagers averaging 8 hours a day on screens now.
You know what's crazy is now on schools, even in private schools, Austin, the whole school curriculum is being done on iPads and computers.
Oh, I know. All of it.
No, I mean, what happened to a book?
They said it saves weight and saves money and all this other stuff.
No, it doesn't. What it does, the guys who like to breathe free air.
That's exactly right.
They run the publishing houses. They found they could release the books on the screens, not to pay for print costs.
That's exactly right.
They still charge us.
Oh, I know. I'm well aware. And the thing about it is it gets these kids hooked on iPads all day long. So they're entire, and it's much easier to change the narrative and rewrite history on a digital platform than it is having to rewrite books.
That's right.
Slowly change history.
Because once you change that digital platform, there's no record of it.
That's it. Books don't exist. Books
are pesky.
Yeah.
You pick it up off the library. It's been there for 100 years. It still says the same thing.
It says the same thing. You can't get rid of it unless you burn it.
Oh, by the way, that one lead singer for Kiss is dead. I like Kiss. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't care for that group. But the reason I brought him up was not that I want to cover him on the show, but he fell and ended up with a brain bleed.
Oh, that can be a problem.
Well, no, he's in his 70s. So I'm going to say this, and this is really important that you guys listen to me. You know, when you get up in the morning, you know, if you're a little bit unstable, your blood sugar a little bit low, don't be sitting there trying to do a pirouette and put your underwear on with one leg at a time and standing up, bouncing around the floor and jumping.
What are you talking about? I put my jeans on both legs at a time.
I know, but you're tough, though. And the problem is that, you know, people are always doing this. They're falling when they get older. And it's, a lot of times it's because of the inner ear, the equilibrium is a little bit off. A lot of things happen to you as you begin to age. Yeah. And what you don't need to do is increase the risks of this and with a brain bleed or with a fall. You know, in fact, just sit down and put your underwear on. You know, don't stand in the shower, you know, with soap everywhere and everything's unbelievably slippery trying to wash one foot with the other one up in the air by your shoulders.
That's a picture.
There's a high probability. That's a terrible photo. That's a terrible picture. But don't be doing that because all you're asking for is get your head busted open. It's really bad. And now also there's a boxer, Ricky. This is sad. Ricky Hatton, they finally revealed his cause of death. He was in his 40s. And, you know, this is something we need to talk about for just one second. You got to be really careful with blunt force trauma, okay? Because what happened to the guy, he ended up committing suicide. Chances are he had been diagnosed probably with bipolar disorder, and he probably had some type of brain disorder because of the being beaten in the head all the time, being a boxing champion.
Yeah. I mean,
it happens. And with bipolar disorder, about 40% of the time, the people try to commit suicide because they basically get up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. So be really careful if you're in contact sports. Try not to hit to the head. I know that's
kind of hard in boxing. I mean,
well, I'm talking about unless you really can do something with boxing, don't do it. I mean, it's like this: if you're going to be a boxer, you're going to be a world champion, you're going to make money with it. Okay, if you lift to the head, maybe okay. But if you're just kind of so-so and marginal in any of these sports with contact, including football, by the way, don't be going out there and getting yourself all banged up. That's why they've come in with this head-to-head contact stuff now, making it so illegal with spearing.
Oh, spearing! Yeah, they had to. They got crazy with some of the football.
Well, my buddy Vance had several concussions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's very, very easy when you're running at each other 25 miles an hour and you hit each other to have a concussion. Think about
that. Some of those guys are big, too.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Vance with the really big ones, he just run away from him. He was faster than
him. Get away from him on there.
But my condolences to the family Ricky had because he was a good boxer. The sad part about all of this stuff is that, you know, be really, really careful. Even in taekwondo, remember? They said don't hit to the head.
No, we still hit each other in the head all the time. We got
to
spar.
No, I'm talking about
difference, though, between sparring and training and working with each other, which I highly recommend you need to do. Because you're not sitting there trying to go full tilt. You start getting in high, you know, aggressive matches, you know, world championship.
Remember that one idiot that Ray had in there who was out of the military with the black belt?
Oh, yeah.
Even when he was sparring, he was full throttle.
Oh, he was always trying to
knock everybody out.
Yeah, I know.
It's terrible.
Yeah. This is an interesting article now. It says gold and silver are skyrocketing because investors are scrambling to avoid the economic time bomb.
That's the dollar.
I'm talking about it. It says consequences often do not show up for an extended period of time. When they arrive, they can be exceedingly painful. That's a very strong, accurate statement. They said the reckoning is now upon us. This is what their opinion is. They said the primary reason why gold and silver are skyrocketing, with gold going over $4,300 yesterday and silver at $53. This is exciting for people that are basically in the metal market. But at the moment, with the government shutdown and global trade war, liquidity crisis, and all these other things, economic time bombs are starting to explode. And some of this stuff is fear porn here. I read some of the article here earlier, and it's talking about all these things that are happening. So I'm not going to go over all of them on here. But one thing it is for certain is that a lot of people are getting out of cash and putting into things that are actually going to hold long-term value. And it's not just gold and silver, but there's other aspects you can get involved in. But the crypto market went to crap again today. That's all.
I don't know why. How many times have I told you? If you can't touch it, you don't.
That's
own
true.
It.
I mean, you could touch 10 acres. You could touch gold. You could touch silver.
I told you years ago. Crypto market, not my thing.
Yeah, there's some guys I know that made some good money in it, but it's like playing roulette. You just play it. If you lose, you lose. But don't get involved in. I mean, I remember back in the day when Bitcoin was going, people were maxing out credit cards and cash advancing them to buy Bitcoin. And I'm like,
well, I hope that worked out for them.
Yeah,
some people did. Some people depend on how you got it. And a lot of guys get other guys to get involved in it because they're trying not to lose their
money.
That's
exactly right.
Ponzi schemes.
That's what a lot of the crypto markets turn into is it's giant Ponzi schemes.
We're going to talk about amoebas.
Amoebas. You going to do your amoeba dance for everybody? It's so funny.
The mathematics of creation. What happens when Gödel, Einstein, and quantum mechanics all point to God?
There you go.
This is a good article. I read it last night. It's not for the faint of heart, though. It's pretty complicated. But I'm going to read you this article. I've read you this before. I'm going to read it again.
You're pretty good at simplifying stuff for
I'm
going to
make this real simple for everybody.
The macrophage was great. I actually had an email on that. They said that was the best explanation they can understand now with D3.
How many times?
Your phone. I'm like, it doesn't get easier than that.
Yeah, but I've done that same explanation.
I know.
The problem is I hadn't done it in a long time.
I know. We get a lot of new listeners, too.
Oh, by the way, if you're a new listener, welcome to 10,000 Bro Show. By the way, this is an interesting article. I tried to refine it. I was going to post it, but I can't.
Oh, you printed it. You're old school today.
No, it's not online anymore.
Of course it's
not.
This whole
thing's gone.
That happens a lot. Remember what I just said earlier about erasing digital history?
Mine is the matrix of matter. You can't find it anymore. And what we have discovered at the core basis of the universe, the foundation of the universe, is a unified single field of intelligence. That would be God. And that field unites gravity with electromagnetism, light with radioactivity, with the nuclear force, so that all the forces of nature and all the so-called particles of nature, quarks, leptons, protons, neutrons, are now understood to be one. They're all just different ripples on a single ocean of existence that is the unified field. And that field is a non-material field. Basically, it's a hologram. It is ultimately a field of consciousness, and everything in the universe is nothing but that. Plants, trees, people, animals are just waves of vibration of this underlying unified superstring field. This is a particle physicist, Dr. John Hagelin. And what's interesting about that is, you know, when I was at Florida State, we had a professor that was teaching us embryology, and he basically was a great professor, probably one of the best ones I've ever had. And one day, somebody asked him about evolution. Now, remember, this is a secular university.
Yeah.
And the guy basically looked at the staff, family of the class, and he said, well, that's what I did my doctoral thesis on. And I thought, well, that's interesting.
Interesting.
And so he says, so the girl asked, well, you're kind of an expert on this. He goes, I am. He says, my doctoral thesis is on this. And they said, well, tell us about evolution. He goes, it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
No. And he goes, and they go, what do you mean? He goes, well, it was like 10 to the 500th power of possibilities in order to create a field that we're in right now that basically was random. And he goes, the universe hadn't been here that long, not even close. Yeah. That means like 10 with 500 zeros. And he goes, he says, it's impossible. It didn't happen. Mathematically, it cannot be proven. It cannot be quantified. Following semester, FSU terminated him.
Really?
Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, he did not have tenure. Couldn't say something like that.
Wow.
And so I can tell you what happened. One of those little pencil necks
got offended
in the classroom. Probably got mad because they weren't getting enough free air. Probably unbelievably liberal. And they went back and they probably told the doggone head person of the department, this guy's telling us that God's real. Well, my goodness, imagine that.
Yeah.
Well, you can't say that at a secular university. And here what it says. It says, the mathematics of creation, what happens when Gödel, Einstein, and quantum mechanics all point to God. What happens when string theory, quantum mechanics, and pure logic all point to the same impossible conclusion? And he goes on to say, he goes, I was raised Catholic, but I lost my faith completely in my 20s, and I spent years as a committed materialist who believed the universe was nothing more than particles bouncing around according to blind physical laws. Then I started studying quantum mechanics and quantum physics seriously, and the more I learned about quantum mechanics, string theory, and mathematical structures underlying reality, the more questions I had about the purely materialistic worldview could actually explain what we observe. I have in my life certainly and became agnostic because I didn't give enough claim that God didn't exist. That the Gnosticism launched me into years of deep study across quantum physics, and now I realize I'm absolutely certain there is a God. Isn't that great?
There you go.
And this article presents some of the most compelling evidence I discovered on that journey. If you're an atheist reading this and your plan is to comment, God isn't real because I said so. You know, it's funny they do that. They don't believe in God because they said so.
Right.
They don't look at the evidence. I don't believe in God because I said so. Well, I do believe in God, and it's because I say so. So the guy's now saying the same thing. God isn't real because I said so without presenting any actual evidence of why God's not real or engaging with the physics. Save your energy. Nobody cares about your unsupported assertions. I love this guy. But if you want to genuinely debate the evidence presented here and that you have actual counter arguments or data that refutes the existence of God, I'm extremely interested in what you have to say. And he goes, the universe speaks in mathematics and in music, not poetry, not a metaphor, actual theorems and equations that describe reality with surgical precision. Eugene Wigner called it the unreasonable effectiveness of mathematics in 1960, and nobody answered his question yet. Why should abstract symbols scratched on a paper by evolved primates predict the behavior of galaxies? It gets weirder. We've now discovered that reality uses the same error-correcting codes that Intel engineers invented to keep your laptop from melting down. Wait a minute. That means they're saying the fabric of space-time is backup systems, redundancy protocols, and recovery algorithms. Years ago, they actually took the matrix of the universe and they looked at it and they said it had finite borders and that it had been created within a finite space. I thought that's what he's saying here. Meanwhile, string theory says that we're trapped in a four dimension while six or seven others curl up are too small to see. Actually, it's more like 13. Strange, and it changed how they curl, and you get different physics. Now, here he is awesome. Ready? Different constants, different universes. Here we go. There are 10 to the 500th power ways to curl them. He just said the same thing my professor wow. said. This is the first time I've ever heard another physicist quote what this embryologist said. There are 10 to the 500 powers ways to uncurl just this different levels of matter. Okay, no, the odds of happening by accident is 1 in 10 to 500.
Whoa.
You hear the math? So the fact that if we show up and there's no God, and it just all happened by accidents, the odds are that's 1 to 500, 10 times to 500th power.
Which means it's
impossible.
Impossible.
Yeah. This is the same thing that professor said. He said the same thing 500.
Yep.
He said it's impossible mathematically because we haven't been here that long. It's just impossible. And he goes, and it says, talk about the invisible architecture. Your universe runs on extra dimensions you cannot see. Einstein united space and time into space-time, four dimensions total, three time space, one time, where we live and where we think and what we do. String theory requires more. 10 to minimum dimensions at a minimum. Most people say 13. Why? Because when physicists tried to marry quantum mechanics to gravity, the math puked up infinities. Meaningless garbage? No. Division by zero everywhere. Then someone had an idea. What if the particles aren't points but tiny vibrating strings? The math cleaned up. The infinities vanished, but only in strings vibrating 10 or 12 or 11 dimensions or 13. That's why God calls himself the Most High God. Because he operates in the 13th dimension, probably, which is outside of time space. That's why he says that he's omnipresent. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. He means all at once because he's operating outside of our dimensional time space. That's pretty cool when you think about it. That means he's 2,000 years in the history in the back, 2,000 years in the front, all at once. He sees everything happening at once. That's why he knows your timeline. And it goes into detail in here. So I start talking about fractal timelines. It starts going into all these different theories. And then it comes in and it says something very, very interesting. He goes, basically what we are, and if we are with this, we're basically in a holographic projection. And I thought, well, that's interesting. That kind of throws a wrench into everything. We're kind of like on the spaceship Enterprise on a holodeck.
Are we?
That's what he's saying. And what's interesting about that, you think about it, that means that we control our own holographic projection by what?
When
the words
speak.
That we speak.
That's a fact.
By the words that we speak and the thoughts that we believe and the things that we do creates the fabric of time-space around us that creates our reality. So in other words, if you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, this is the day the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I'm always at the right place and the right time all the time. That's the creation of the reality around you, Austin. And if you speak the negative stuff all the time, guess what? Now you got a negative life. If you want to be negative and you want to put people down, you want to put yourself down, you create that same fabric of reality. And that's what he's saying here. He says that we're basically a holographic energy field, the empowered planet. Now, here comes another problem we have here now. This is going to, I'm going to throw a couple wrenches into this, Austin. Some of you are going to really like this. Some of you are going to think we've all gone off the deep end. If that means that our Earth and what we live here is basically a holographic projection, what's outside of the hologram? Does time-space actually exist? Or is it another construct? Now, what does our planet look like? You knew I'd go here. Is it more of a planet? Is it more of a circular globe? Or is it more of a realm in which we operate? So there's all kinds of theories. I'm not going there. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. And so this is what we have to understand. If we understand what's going on and what we see here, then we begin to realize that our fabric of reality is not what you think it is. It's not. That's why, get ready. Death is a lie. Heaven is real.
I just want to know why I can't go to Antarctica.
Yeah, what's on the other side of Antarctica? What's on the other side of that ice wall, Austin? Man.
Nobody can give me an answer on that. I've talked to guys that have traveled, you know, the little edge where the little penguin, you know, peninsula is and all that. There's always something real weird down there every time I talk to anybody.
Well, and this is why we cover all of this in Angel Wars. I mean, gosh, guys, here's how you have to look at it. God built this thing for us in order to do what he's going to do, and I cover it at Angel Wars. I won't try to discuss it here. It'll just confuse everybody.
It's Friday, man. It's Friday.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long week.
But if you understand that we were bought at a price, and we're basically a theater, like it says in the Bible, we're on display, and the whole universe, including the angels, are watching us, all creation, you've got to ask yourself a simple question. What's on the other side of the hologram? Who's watching us? And all of this stuff is interesting to me because they want our souls, Austin. That's what they want, because they don't have souls. These entities, these, what do you call them, these fallen ones, these old ones, they don't have souls, and they're trying their best to figure out how to force God to give them a plan of salvation like he's done with us. Always remember that. But I want you guys to read this, because this is a great article. I can do the whole show on it, but I can't do it. And he goes on to say, reality has backup systems, how to protect information from the universe's noise. Space-time is an error-coding, correcting code, the engineering signature. When logic points beyond itself, like what Gödel actually broke, truth lives outside of the box. What's outside of the box? The ontological proof that nobody taught you. Later in life, Gödel developed a separate argument, a formalization of Anselm's medieval proof for God using modal logic. And this is very, very good. I'm not going to try to go into detail with this. It gets really complicated. Page number four, the universe impossible birth, the Boltzmann brain problem. You go into there and read this. The entropy catastrophe, inflation doesn't save you. Part five, time causation and the ultimate dodge, the something from nothing con. That's the one I like. That's the amoeba. That's the amoeba dance. I'm going to be in it. Amoeba says, where do you maybe come from? Well, lightning hit the rock. Cause a peptide. Well, how does a peptide turn into an amoeba? If a peptide can't turn into an amoeba, how in the world can an amoeba turn into a human being? Well, they're unbelievably complicated bodies. And then it goes on. Then it goes, God outside of the game board. Can time be cyclic? Part six, the probability hammer. You guys read through this stuff, enjoy it, and let me know what you think. Send me some emails on this, because I loved this. I'm going to repost it right now. It's already been posted once, but I'm going to repost it right now as we speak. Austin, what do you think?
All right, I got a health article here that's an interesting topic that nobody really discusses. It says how altitude and air travel disrupt the gut and what to do about it. New studies show that the gut responds to high altitude like an inflammatory assault, yet it's very adaptable for healthy people.
Whoa.
Listen, this is interesting. So a headache after hiking in the mountains and a bit of digestive discomfort after a flight can be caused by the same mechanism, the microbes living in your gut.
Well, there's a direct connection between the microbes and the brain.
Yep, that's exactly where I was going. This change in oxygen levels as you move at higher altitude cause shifts in gastrointestinal communities, which are the bacteria that are dominant and overall diverse. This shift impacts the health and function of the cells in your intestinal lining and can lead to fatigue, bloating, gas, diarrhea, and nausea. These are frequently fly and travel to high altitudes, particularly affected. Now, it goes into detail here, excuse me, about what you can do if you're having some of these issues or if you fly a lot. It says high altitude triggers the release of inflammatory cytokines, signaling proteins.
We talked about cytokines the other day.
The amount of defense against a threat such as an infection or stress. The low atmospheric pressure puts stress on the body, a condition which less oxygen is available with each breath. Hypoxia lowers oxygen in body tissue and affects the brain, including altered judgment. Now, what's interesting about this here, it says a couple things you can do. It says lifestyle changes can help out resolve GI-related issues. One of the biggest things is something like the probiotic blend. The probiotic blend's a really, really good formula.
That 350 that. Billion?
The 350 is not really necessary in this situation, I don't think. The 100 billion is pretty good on it. And so the thing about it is, when you start looking at this stuff on how it is important for the gut, it's really important to stay on top of these products, including the probiotic DF. It says considering vitamin D3 and B12 and omega-3 fatty acids as well to help out with as far as mood.
Which ones again?
D3, B12, and omega-3 fats.
How many times have we said that? But I like B-complex and B12.
Hell yeah.
Because that way you get a full complex of B vitamins.
Don't drink alcohol or use drugs before or during travel.
I throw some 5-HTP in there, too.
Yo, yeah. Don't fly if you're sick. That can lead to sinus infections.
Oh, you've had that.
Been there
you
before. I was rough on that flight. Improve hydration. Take electrolytes. So make sure you're taking a lot of water in. Make sure you're getting the minerals in the water, too, like the Aquatrace formula, because that is crucial. I remember every time I'd fly with you when I was younger, you used to always have me chug a big old bottle of water at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to keep fluid in your body because you'd get really dehydrated on those flights.
Well, the biggest problem a lot of people do, they get on the airplanes and they want to get drunk.
Oh, yeah. Which that's one of the worst things you can do on the plane.
It's a diuretic.
It's a diuretic. And the alcohol wipes out the gut bacteria as well. Mm-hmm. So you're wiping out the gut bacteria. You're sucking all the water out of you. You're basically flushing your minerals, magnesium, all that out of your system. And that's why you feel even worse if you ever do that on a flight, which I highly recommend you don't do. But I thought it was interesting. It's talking about air travel and the gut health and a few things you can do about it.
Well, you know, especially with our pilots.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, if you go up every once in a while and fly someplace, it's not a big deal.
But, no.
I mean, if you're flying all the time, like we did in the 210.
Right. Yeah, we did.
We're always flying around 12,000 feet all the time.
Yeah.
And, again, that's way, way up. And that's in a non-pressurized cockpit.
I think the pressurization helps reduce some of the side effects.
Well, they usually pressurize it to about 7,000 feet.
Yeah.
And so that keeps it so it's more comfortable.
What did we do? 12,000? 10,000?
We usually flew at 12,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to go over that without air. If you put air in the plane, you can do that. But I've gone a little bit higher than that before trying to avoid a few clouds. And one time I remember I was in a doggone, I had my luggage in the back and I had some iodine.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing exploded on me.
Really?
Oh, it went all over my
glass or?
No, it was plastic. It blew up. And I thought to myself, well, that shows you how high we were. I think we hit 15,000 feet for a few seconds. And I'm trying to avoid a thunder boomer. Actually, I was going around it. Because, you know, what you don't want to do in a small plane is fly through a thunderstorm.
Gosh, no.
You ever hear about pulling the wings off a mosquito?
Yeah.
You pull the wings off the plane.
Yes.
Because you get an updraft, it pulls up so fast, so quick, the wing load can't handle it. It can pull the wings right off. You get in one of those thermodrafts that's going up at 200 miles an hour, and you shear into it. Pulls the plane wings off. So you got to be really, really careful. I had a friend of mine basically over in Lakeland, an attorney. He decided to fly, and he basically left Tallahassee. He was going north. He had a counseling session that he had to do, an appointment he had to be in. He had another pilot with him. They flew right into a storm, Austin. They flew in one side, didn't come out the other side. And he was a good guy, too, and it happens all the time. It's like I had another guy that basically was in a plane. That was a regular piston plane. It's a real fast one. It was an Aerostar, the same ones that Tom Cruise used in that movie.
American Made.
In fact, somebody got killed in that movie with one of those Aerostars.
In that movie? Or in the plane?
No, why they're filming the movie, somebody got killed.
I didn't know that.
That Aerostar is one of the fastest planes ever built. I mean, it would fly almost 300 miles an hour with a piston aircraft. The problem is that it had real slippery wings. Now, what that means is that if you have a plane and you're flying and you go up into the air and you basically catch an air pocket or you catch something else or you lose a plane or you drop the nose or something too much or you start to go into a spin, it's very easy to recover like on a 210 because the wings aren't real slippery. You get a plane that's got slippery wings, it'll go really, really fast, real thin wings.
Everything happens fast?
Well, no, it doesn't recover as quick.
Okay.
Because the wings are too slippery. And this was a professional pilot, and that was one of the fastest planes ever built. That's why he was so excited in the movie when they let him have
it. Yeah, when they gave that pickle back.
Wow, this is mine? I can fly this? And but those planes are super dangerous. So I had a friend of mine again. In fact, he had a MiG. He also flew a MiG.
Russian MiG?
Remember that MiG that was Bob's hangar?
Oh, yeah.
And that was his MiG.
That's a lot of maintenance.
He was actually a plastic surgeon that specialized in transgender surgery.
Oh, you told me about that.
Yeah. Well, he really wasn't a friend of mine, but I knew him. But a little bit weird. But the reality, he went up north to Ohio to fly a plane back, and it was an Aerostar.
Yeah.
Right? He got in it, and they thought it was a jet, so they had put kerosene in the tanks.
Oh, I remember that.
which is what you, which is what jet fuel is. And then what happened is
needed avgas.
And then what happened is he took off. He had plenty of fuel in his pump and his lines. The plane started right up. He didn't check the color of the. So you have to crawl under the wings to do it on that plane.
Yeah.
He didn't check the color of the fuel because they're different colors for a reason. And he got to the end of the runway at full throttle, engine stall, roll, done.
Gosh.
End of him. So, I mean, so it's just, I know a lot of people didn't make it in airplanes. I remember Chuck told me that the day I gave him my license.
It's a high risk sport.
He goes, this thing will kill you quick. And I said, well, guys, and I had about my insurance agent told me, says, whatever you do, if you don't ever buy a plane to start flying.
Yeah.
Cause, you know, she had a bunch of her friends die.
Oh, yeah.
Cause, and honestly, if you're going to fly a little bit every once in a while, just hire a pilot if you got a plane. Just get somebody in there that does it, you know, 1,000 hours, 2,000 hours, 3,000 hours, 20,000 hours of time. My instructor one time, he was flying over there with a plane from the airport that was a student plane, right? Had a student in there with him. And he takes off, engine quits. He lands on Highway 92.
Oh, I remember that. Right around the highway.
That's the instructor you want to fly with. Just lands. They hooked a tow truck to it, brought it back to the airport.
Right.
It was right by the airport.
Yeah, 92's right beside. Gosh, I bet that was sketchy. They're coming in for a landing. It's not at the airport.
Well, because it's going to land.
You're going to land. It's coming down.
Whether you do it pretty or you do it ugly, it's going to come down.
I remember what that one pilot say. He said, takeoffs are optional, landings are not. Speaking of that, you see the B-52s again. They're flying off the coast of Venezuela.
I don't want to talk about that.
No, here's the funny part about that. I'm bringing this up because it's almost ironic because we already know what's about to happen with this entire situation. Is Trump's now running around. He goes, Trump believes that Maduro is an illegitimate president. The White House press
secretary. Why is that his business?
No. But here's my next question. So you're telling me that basically Ukraine, with that clown over there, he's the legitimate president? That whole theater show with hundreds of billions of dollars in weapon trafficking over there to Ukraine now with Zelensky, he's a legitimate president? What does that have to do with us? So now we're running B-52s off the coast down there. So, I mean, I think everybody's well aware of where this is about to go.
Now, this guy,
he looks pretty mad.
He looks mad. Okay, so give me the middle camera, Rich.
Who's that?
I'm angry. Angry man. Yeah, when these black guys get mad, they get mad. Look at this guy. He's about to kill somebody.
Who is that?
That's an admiral. He's a top dude.
The admiral.
He just quit.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Admiral.
Air Force? Alvin,
no, the head of the U.S. Military Southern Command.
Oh.
This is a big deal. I mean, the entire U.S. Military Southern Command, it quits, officials say. Admiral Alvin Halsey is leaving in less than a year into his tenure as the Pentagon escalates attacks against boats in the Caribbean. He is opposed to what we're doing down there.
Well, he knows what's about to happen.
Well, because Congress has not done this. We're just starting. We're doing another unprovoked attack. The military commander overseeing the Pentagon's escalating attacks against boats in the Caribbean Sea that the Trump administration says are smuggling drugs. It's not about the drugs. It's about the oil. I mean, Venezuela has the largest oil reserves in the world.
Well, no. I mean, we already – and it came out yesterday. We talked about it in detail. Trump confirmed he's authorized CIA ops in Venezuela looking into land strikes.
Well, you got to remember.
They're doing CIA ops in Venezuela.
Well, yeah. The officer, Admiral Alvin Halsey, is leaving his job as head of the U.S. Southern Command, which oversees all operations in the Central and South America. That's a big position, Austin.
Yeah, it is.
Okay? Even as the Pentagon has rapidly built up some 10,000 forces in the region, it is unclear why he is suddenly departing, less than a year, but we know why. In a statement on social media, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth made no mention of any friction with his four-star admiral commander. This big guy is big. This is like General Schwarzkopf or Colin Powell.
Nothing to do with
no.
this.
On behalf of the Department of War, said Mr. Hegseth, using the same of the Department of that he now prefers, instead of the Department of Defense, we extend our deepest gratitude to Admiral Alvin Halsey for his more than 37 years of distinguished service to our nation as he plans to retire at the year's end. Nor did Admiral Halsey voice any public objections, urging his command's 1,200 military service members and civilians in a statement, keep charging. This is a real soldier. No, I like this guy.
Yeah.
Because here he comes in, he goes, all right, I can't be part of this. I'm going to go ahead and retire.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say anything about it.
Well, a lot of stuff he can't.
I know, but the point is I like this.
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of these guys get out and they start running their mouth, bad mouthing everybody. Yeah. He just said, nope, he's a true, true soldier and patriot of the United States. And
he wouldn't be involved in this crap either.
What they said is all these attacks were outside of his jurisdiction by special forces.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
So in other words, he's not calling for it.
No, and it's international water,
too. But guess what? He's going to get blamed for it.
That's true.
You remember?
It's going to be on his shoulders, but he doesn't have the authority to basically stop it.
He doesn't have the power to stop
No.
it. Okay? So they're doing it outside of his authority, but yet he's the one who's in charge of it. And so he's saying, no.
That's no. Yeah.
Well, it's like having a kid. All right? It's like, well, let's say you have you're in a classroom. Listen to your kids. Let's say you're in a classroom with a bunch of students, and you have authority over them, but you have no power.
Yeah.
In other words, sit down and shut up, Johnny. Hey, why don't you go do blankety blanks to yourself? You can't do anything to me, and you can't spank them.
Yeah. And he can't send to the principal. He couldn't do anything.
Can't do anything. You have no power over them.
Well, the problem, he's smart. He's real smart. He knows he's getting set up to be the scapegoat on this whole thing with Venezuela. Because if this escalates with Venezuela, this is going to turn into a mess, and I hope it doesn't. Also, this is news in Florida.
What they're trying to do is create a precipitating incident if Venezuela does something.
That's exactly what that, yeah, I mean, it's clear as day. I mean, now you're going to start doing CIA ops on ground. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. This is an interesting thing that came about in Florida. This is State Bill 188. This is really, really important. This is going through now. This is what of our Surgeon General's pushed through. It says the new Florida bill will require medical examiners to include all recent vaccination history when investigating sudden infant death syndrome. So there's the detail here because, you know, now if a baby dies from SIDS, which, by the way, SIDS was never even a thing before the vaccine mandates rolled out in the late 80s. Suddenly, we have no idea how the baby died, who's woke up, and they're dead. They have no explanation whatsoever. It's a horrific thing to have to deal with. It said the bill will require examiners to review and document the deceased child's immunization and medical records and report all vaccines or emergency countermeasures administered 90 days before the sudden unexpected infant death, following protocols established by national health agencies. They didn't do this before.
It's almost always right after the vaccines.
That's exactly right. When I've looked it up, it's almost always within 2 to 3 days.
I think it's like 70 or 80%.
And I don't have if it's a 6 month or the 3 month, but there's one shot that's a lot of times it's really tied into. So now in Florida, if this happens, they got to do a full investigation for 90 days on any vaccines, emergency countermeasures, or anything with the medical records now.
And
publish it.
Well, the thing that makes me angry here is that these pediatricians know they're doing this.
Oh, yeah.
They see it over and over again.
They have the reports of it, yeah.
And so, but they won't stop doing it.
I mean, you start having multiple kids in your pediatric office suddenly die 2 or 3 days after they get a shot, and it happens again. It's at a certain point, it's no longer coincidence.
Then the doctors absolve themselves.
See, yeah.
I remember I had a friend of mine who's a medical doctor. She also has a PhD from Harvard. And she told me when they were in medical school, you never, ever assume responsibility for anything that you've done.
Never admit
ever.
Anything.
You never admit anything. There's always plausible deniability. Had nothing to do with my decisions or my actions. Therefore, I have no personal liability.
Yep.
That's what they do. Oh, by the way, I want to read this whole paragraph. While Admiral Halsey had been the highest-ranking military officer overseeing the airstrikes, the decision to carry them out has been driven by the White House, and the strikes themselves have been conducted by special operation forces, with Admiral Halsey largely cut out of the decision-making process.
There you go. You said it. He don't want. He said that they're doing this on his back, but he's going to be responsible for it, but he can't stop it. And I guarantee you there's probably a certain point where he said he wanted them to stand down and not do these strikes.
What he's doing is questioning what's going on, because it's like saying something else. By the way, you're going to be responsible for all the people we kill, but I don't want to kill them. It doesn't matter. You're in charge.
Yeah, you're in charge. You're the highest ranking
officer. But I told you not to do it. It doesn't make a difference. Well, I tell you what, how about I just retire?
Yeah, smart man.
So he has stepped down. He's retiring. So he's done. So now whatever happens, he won't be held accountable for it in the history books, maybe. You don't know what they're going to write about him.
Well, you don't know. He's retiring at the end of the year.
He stepped down from this position, apparently effective now.
Okay.
He had enough of it.
His retirement will go through the
It probably takes a couple months to process the retirement papers.
Especially something like that.
Four-star admiral.
Yeah.
38 years.
Career,
this guy's got to be brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
To get to that level.
Oh, here's another article came out. Now it says vitamin D, the sunshine vitamin, its notable benefits. They're showing now nearly one quarter of individuals have insufficient or deficient vitamin D levels. We talk about this all the time. It's funny because all these articles keep coming up repeatedly about vitamin D, yet I still have people sometimes come to the office and they have their blood work done and their D3 is super low. And I'm asking, how much D3 are you taking? Well, I don't ever take D3. I said, why? Well, my doctor doesn't ever test for it. This is the first time I've had D3 levels tested. I can't tell you how many times people come in and say that.
Hundreds to me.
Yeah. I don't know my D3 is. My doctor never tested. And they get it tested. It's like 20.
I'm talking about cancer patients. I mean, anybody.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we talked about D3 with macrophages the other day. And you can't activate your immune system without D3.
No. And then some people go, well, I go outside some. I get enough sunshine.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. Not anymore.
Not unless you're laying in the sun.
Yeah. And then you got to deal with the side effects of that, too, as far as in Florida getting burnt all the time down here.
One more thing here about this, since we're segueing back and forth here.
With sunshine and D3?
Yeah, sunshine and D3, being in the Caribbean, getting blown up in a boat.
Yeah, okay? Sunshine, it's relative.
Sort of a segue. It's kind of a horrible segue. But a range of specialists in the laws of governing the use of force have disputed the Trump administration's claim, listen, and then think about this, that it can lawfully kill people suspected of drug trafficking.
Yep.
Like an enemy troop instead of arresting them for prosecution.
Well, here's the issue that I have, and you're exactly right. We talked about this. From a military standpoint, we have the Navy for this exact reason. They've identified these boats allegedly carrying drugs, right? We know they're drug dealers. There's drugs on the boat. They're drug smugglers. They say this with confidence. Okay, stop them with a naval vessel and board them. Board them. Stop them with a naval vessel and board them. If they fire, fire upon them. They're just drone striking these boats.
No warnings.
No warning.
And it says, as a matter of domestic law, Congress has not authorized any armed conflict.
No.
We're treating... So basically, you're driving down the highway to bring aid into Gaza, and Lavender says, oh my gosh, I went there, didn't I? I wasn't supposed to do that today. I was trying to keep the Friday clean, bud. I just did it.
Well, you did it. Lavender AI approves drone strikes on aid workers coming into Gaza.
I mean,
it happened.
I mean, outside of human interaction, it just said, pick this, drop the drone, kill the people.
Then they're on comms saying, stop dropping airstrikes on us. We're aid workers.
So they were bringing
another drone
strike. They're bringing food in. So how do you know what's in these rafts?
That's my point.
There's your segue.
And they're blowing them up.
There's nothing.
There's no evidence. There's nothing there. It's out in the middle of the ocean that's blown up now, so there's nothing there.
It's a hellfire missile.
Boom, gone.
Gone. It vaporizes it.
No, this has happened repeatedly now. I
27 people are dead now.
Yeah, I asked my buddy. You know,
sound like Obama all over
again. Retired airborne ranger. I asked him, I said, what's the legality with this? He goes, what's really weird because they're in international water. So it's this like real weird gray area. He said, but it also sets a very strange precedent for the U.S. military, because now the U.S. military is saying, even in international water, we can drone strike anybody we deem at any point in time.
I've got the metaphor. I've got the analogy. I've got it. I have it now. The SS Lusitania.
Lusitania. Oh, boy.
Let's go back 100 years.
Wow.
Let's go back to World War I.
Yeah.
It's a passenger ship. Okay? And it's carrying armament.
Sinking of the Lusitania.
Oh, let's talk about it for a second. Most of you have never heard of it. The Lusitania is a passenger ship about the size of the Titanic. It was huge. And basically, they were going to refit it as a troop transport carrier, but it had not been done yet. It was still carrying passengers. And Germany basically put a note in the doggone New York Times, big old article, that said, by the way, all passenger ships coming into England now will be considered military targets. In other words, don't get on a passenger ship. They warned everybody because they were using the passenger ships to carry armament and munitions into England to fight the war against Germany. So what happens with Lusitania? It's got a bunch of people on it. I mean, we went here. Remember this? It was awesome. We saw where we went to the graveyard. To the graveyard. I saw the bodies. We actually saw one of the bodies. The doggone grave collapsed. We saw a skull in there. Remember that?
Yep.
Crazy stuff. And I'll never forget this. So the Lusitania is full of ammunition. And all of a sudden, it gets into an area, and it's ordered to slow down to crawl speed. And there's a German U-boat out there. He goes, oh, it's a ship. We got to shoot it, because basically it was told to slow down to basically one knot or two knots. The torpedoes could only go like five or six knots. That ship could easily outrun a torpedo.
Well, it's crazy about it. It says the British registered ocean liner was torpedoed by a German Navy U-boat. First World War on May 7th, says the attack took place in declared maritime war zone around the United Kingdom, 3 months after unrestricted submarine warfare against all ships in the UK had been announced by Germany following the Allied powers. Now, listen to this. What they did with it, and this is what was so messed up, they used the passengers essentially as a ploy to say, well, it's a civilian boat. But this was the declaration on the boat. It had 173 tons of war supplies, 4.2 million rounds of ammunition, 5,000 shrapnel-filled artillery shells, 3,240 brass percussion fuses. The thing was loaded.
Well, no, what happened is that silly torpedo.
Oh, yeah.
It hit the hole carrying this stuff.
It ignited everything.
The boat went down, like, what, in 12 minutes?
Yeah, 11, 18.
18 minutes.
18 minutes.
They couldn't get the lifeboats launched.
No. It was horrible.
The thing exploded, yeah.
It had, 1,900 passengers.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And 700 survived.
Well, and that still did not bring us into World War One, though. We still said, no, not just yet.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the Balfour I'm going there again, Austin.
Why does it always go there?
Why does it do that?
Why does it do that, bro?
It wasn't until Lord Rothschild and the Balfour Declaration said that they would get the United States into World War One if Palestine was given over for an Israeli state. Now, think about that for a second. And England said, okay, we'll do it. And all of a sudden, now the United States is in World War One, and that was that syphilis-infected Wilson, worst president we've ever had. He's worse to me. He's worse than doggone Abraham Lincoln. Well, about the same. Both horribly bad. So there we go.
It says investigations in both the UK and the United States in the precise cause of the ship's loss were obstructed by the needs of wartime secrecy and propaganda campaign to ensure all blame fell on Germany. Meaning, when it happened at the time, they made sure nobody knew anything about what really happened.
Well, they didn't want anybody to know.
They just randomly shot a civilian boat for no reason whatsoever.
Nobody could ever explain why it sank in 18 minutes.
No.
With one torpedo.
It didn't come out till decades later of actually what was on the boat and what they were carrying.
Well, and they were very close to England. I mean, if normally what would have happened, if a torpedo would have hit that and it would have been not in an area that was going to sink immediately, they could have gotten to shore. They could have grounded the boat.
They were only 11 nautical miles from Ireland.
I know. We were there.
Yeah.
Remember, we went over to that area where we looked over the cliff, remember?
Yep.
Right there. I took you and Dalton over there.
Yep.
And we ran around over there. We saw, because I wanted you guys to see what they did. Now you understand what they did and why they did it.
That ship sank
so fast because it hit the munition store inside of it. This thing exploded.
Oh, giant shells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the explosion that must have caused?
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. It was a mess. I'm honestly surprised it didn't sink faster.
Well, a lot of those people who died probably didn't die from drowning. They probably were blown up.
Blown, yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, that way.
Another day.
Yeah, what's next?
Anyways, this other story I had here, I was going into detail on it. This is strange now. The FBI is now claiming Patel. This is very strange. They're going in and saying now they're having massive foreign espionage arrest. This is weird now. Since we've gone after espionage activities against China, Russia, and Iran. The new boogeyman story that's coming out now says the agency is cracking down on espionage by foreign adversaries with arrests as high as 50%. In China, we've had over 50% increase in espionage arrests alone and prosecutions. This, a lot of times when you have stories like this start coming up, you got to wonder what's actually going on behind the scenes. They're talking about Chinese nationals arrested for spying, AI chips being smuggled by Chinese nationalists. And a lot of this stuff, when they bring it up like this, there's always something else they're trying to cover. Because the thing about it is, Patel's compromised, in my opinion. When he first got in there, I thought he was actually going to do something. But he's just gotten – this whole thing with Charlie Kirk has really shown his real true intentions and what he actually does and what he's involved in and how much they tried to confuse everyone about what happened with Charlie Kirk. And I told you guys on the Hagelin show the other day, I said their overall goal with what they did with that is they wanted everybody to see. We watched that man get killed. We all watched it. We watched it happen.
Kennedy assassination.
And nobody can still come to a definitive conclusion on how he was killed.
You said that on Hagelin. That was very good, by the way.
Think about that. Yeah. We watched it happen, and nobody has 100% conclusion on what it is.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, there was an old saying, seeing is believing.
Yeah.
But now with digital stuff and all the stuff they can do.
Well, the AI's gotten crazy.
Now they're coming in. Now there's like 10 different theories on how he died.
Right. Again, we watched it happen, and we still can't even tell everybody how it happened.
You know, there's the thing attorneys have to do, and this is something I spoke to an attorney one time, and I said, all you guys do is assign blame.
That's exactly right.
That's your goal. You have to assign blame to somebody
who's
else.
Who's the victim and who's basically the person?
So if you've got a client, you keep them telling them to shut their mouth.
Yep.
You keep them off the stand so they can't say something. Everybody hates them.
Just assign blame in another direction.
Well, obviously this other person was doing this. So you don't know for certain. So if you don't know for certain beyond a reasonable doubt, which is like 1%, right? You got to find him innocent.
Yeah.
If you're going to assign blame to somebody else in a murder case, that means that it's not quite certain that person killed anybody if you can't prove it, if you keep their mouth shut. It's like this. Here's another segue. You have to assign blame as to why this happened. Transgender model Alex Consanti hits Victoria's Secret fashion show runway with angel wings.
The dude? I'm not even going to pull a photo up of that one.
You don't want to. This is an ugly woman. Because she's not a woman.
A dude.
Yeah.
That's why he's ugly.
You know, the thing, I look at this thing and I'm like, this is Jeff White with Les Wexner. He started all this mess with Jeffrey Epstein. All that stuff.
Yep.
And you know, what's interesting is just when you start looking at it, he was the first to become the first transgender nominee to win Model of the Year at the 2024 Fashion Awards in London. That's because about 90% of the guys over there are gay now. The winner of Model of the Year is decided by a panel of industry members along with the public vote. Now, here's the thing I have with all of this stuff, and I've talked about this before. If the transgender models, if they really want to be doing this and running around in women's clothes, and they tell everybody, we're transgender like they did today, everybody knew he was a transgender. Okay, it's pretty disgusting. I don't really care. Okay, here's where I draw the line on all this. You've got a transgender model that nobody knows is transgender.
Yeah, that's...
And she's hot.
And she's hot.
Yeah, whoa.
It's Friday, bro.
But she's not supposed to be hot because she's a dude. Okay? All it does, Austin, is confuse men.
Yeah, again.
And it's making guys more and more and more apt to think, wow, that's hot. I want to be like if I go on a date with her. Oh, this is great. This is fantastic. Well, it's because their God is a snake in a tree called Ein Sof, and they believe that the closest expression that a person can have to that God, the greatest thing they could ever do is be a transgender or hermaphrodite.
Yep.
That's why they're pushing it like this. But nobody wants to talk about that besides this show. But the crazy part about all of this is that if they want to have their own it's like the same thing, having a guy enter against a woman in competition.
Was stupid.
No. If they
want boxing,
no.
The Olympics?
No. If they want to have a bunch of guys who want to pretend like they're women have their own competition.
Yeah.
Go whatever. Go knock yourself out. But don't start beating women up. That's ridiculous. Go beat up a bunch of other dudes that are pretending to be women.
Yeah, go have the tranny class.
I would actually enjoy that, watching some dude who wants to be a woman beating up another dude who wants to be a woman. I'd be like, yeah, you guys are both six. Well, why don't we just go beat each other up? You know, well played.
Everybody be betting on them.
Yeah, but this has gotten awful, Austin.
Well, Germany does the same as the United States has done. Now, Germany's top federal court of justice last week has ruled that no healthcare providers or anyone can be responsible for compensating people injured by the COVID-19 vaccine.
Well, Germany forced everybody to take the vaccine, too.
Oh, yeah. They said Germany, a system aligns closely with the U.S., where vaccine manufacturers and administrators are completely shielded from all liability.
They were forced more in Germany.
Oh, they pushed it hard. I know. That's the crazy part about it is a lot of this stuff, a lot of people didn't have a choice because they couldn't even function. You couldn't go to a restaurant. You couldn't go to a store. I mean, even in the United States, not in Florida. We were a free state.
For about a month we got locked down.
Oh, yeah, but I'm talking about vaccine.
Oh, yeah. Whatever
down here. If one spring break hit Miami and everybody descended upon Florida for spring break because we were open, it was like, Florida's just, we're going to figure it out.
Remember what was funny? All the naysayers said, everybody's going to die in Florida. Yeah.
Dude, there were articles in Miami Herald, and in the New Yorker, and they were talking about Florida's going to be a desolate wasteland soon because nobody's locking down. The spring breakers they're super spreaders.
Hey, look at this Florida man. Look what he's doing. He's a terrible Florida man.
We're out at the beach, and we're like,
he's swimming.
Man, this weather's nice. It's so nice not having anybody here.
But it's true. Oh, by the way, Longhorn Steakhouse, I love this, is following the Olive Garden's footsteps. They're going to have a complete 24-hour shutdown of all 600 locations.
And you think, for what?
For the holidays.
Oh.
For Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving and Christmas.
That's nice.
But, you know, they led this story like I read it. So, oh, my gosh, what's wrong with
Longhorn? No, that's what I was going to say. What are they doing now? Okay.
But they're closing down for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Good clickbait. They wrote that well.
They did.
Got my attention.
But got me to read it.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty cool. So we have to support them a little better. I like Longhorn.
Yeah.
They have good steaks.
I like the fact. I mean, because, you know, I was a server for a year and a half in college. And sometimes it's like, you know, working on those holidays like that, I get it. But it is kind of rough, too. Oh, yeah. You're scheduled for a 12-hour on Christmas Day. Oh, hooray. Yay, lucky for me.
We're going to pay, instead of $4 an hour, we're going to pay you $6.
Yeah, you're getting paid server pay, time and a half. You're paid $6 an hour. You're like, oh, yay. I can go buy a couple more ounces of gold tomorrow because I worked on Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
So it's funny. Anyways, my friends, we'll keep up the fight. Keep going. I pulled another article up here. I was trying to get it rolling.
Well, I'll pull this one up. Load up. MSA's eye-popping silver observation. Silver structural breakout, rapid repricing ahead.
Oh, yeah.
In his latest technical update, Michael Oliver, Momentum Structural Analysis, argues that silver is entering a decisive technical phase, one that could see prices double or triple again within 6 months.
Yep.
The catalyst, he says, lies not in gold's trajectory, but in silver's breakout against gold. We interpret that excellent commentary below. Oliver identifies a critical signal as a breakthrough breakout in the silver to gold spread, a longtime indicator of relative strength. We've talked about this many times, 20 to 1. The spread has approached the dual highs established over the past 3 years, and a confirmed breakout above those levels would signal, in his view, the start of a vertical, dramatic, and speedy advance in silver prices. Yep. Proprietary momentum analysis focuses on multi-period averages, three-year value. I'll let you read it because we're almost out of time. But, guys, listen to me. I want to thank you for supporting Health Masters. I want to thank you for supporting Ted Dawson Brower Show. I want to thank you for being here for us, and I want to really thank you a lot for praying for us. If you guys weren't praying for us on a regular basis, I don't know what we'd do. I mean, we take a lot of heat doing this show. Because we're so politically correct.
Sometimes we go on certain topics people don't like us talking
about.
We're
a couple Florida men. We epitomize the redneck
Florida life.
Two men with a transmitter. But I will say this, we are both highly educated.
We try to be.
We try to be pretty articulate, too.
Yeah.
And we work out all the time, too. So we're not really the total stereotype. But what we do is try to do. That sounds interesting. What we try to do.
Articulate.
Or to be articulate and try to tell you the truth to the best of our abilities.
That's a fact.
And we try to point things out sometimes that we all say, we all think, but we don't say. You know, like that transgender thing.
Yeah, that model. I feel like that's a point where a lot of people need to get back to. I feel like, and me and Doug talked about this the other night on the show, is how self-censoring people are becoming because they don't want to get any reprisal or they don't want to get societal blowback. And quite frankly, that's not a way to live because the problem is it starts doing it subconsciously. You start doing it without even thinking about it.
You do.
I'm not going to say this topic's just foreboding now. And surely, slowly but surely, year after year, generation after generation, there's just things you can't bring up. Why is it that we're not allowed to bring up what's going on in the Middle East with a massive genocide in Gaza? I'm just asking a question. Whether you're pro-genocide or you're not pro-genocide, it doesn't matter. I just want to know, asking a question.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. All of a sudden,
well, look at the Germans. Look at Germany. They don't want you talking about the Third Reich.
No.
Hitler. They don't want you talking about the fatherland.
Well, they don't want to talk about a lot of the main things that were systemic at the beginning phase. Why Berlin had bestiality and child brothels before he got into power and he removed
all that.
They don't want to talk about that. And so you got to look at history. You got to look at what really happened and then come to your own conclusion. Because I'll tell you what, the manipulation now in the media is insane.
There's
people have been sending me videos with AI now, and I can't even tell. I thought there was one with the eagle the other day. So I saw a video with an eagle and a dog, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. Full AI.
Well, look at that crazy kangaroo thing the other day.
Yeah, I know. The kangaroo was cool, man.
I like the kangaroo.
I like the kangaroo. I thought it was real. And then everybody's like, no, it's AI. I'm like, oh, gosh. I feel dumb.
Hey, here's what I know is real. You keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days
that's
of your life.
Fact.
You keep your hearts in mind. You pray on a regular basis. You go and get communion. Make sure you get baptized. Make sure you follow God and do what he wants you to do with all the areas of your life. Because remember, if we're living in a hologram, just thought I'd mention that, and you know, and everything we do creates our physical reality around us, we might as well have a good physical reality in a relationship with God at the same time.
And be healthy, too. If we're in the hologram, might as well have a healthy hologram.
Use purple sticks.
Use purple, yeah, I love these. You guys are enjoying these. I've gotten a lot of feedback on them. Be sure if you grab the D3, leave me a review on it. I asked you guys to do that, and you've been doing it for me. I really appreciate that, and I'm getting feedback from a lot of customers. They like seeing and hearing the results that other people like y'all are getting, because that way they can say, oh, well, I'm having this issue. This guy addresses it in a review. I want to try it out now. So thank you so much for putting the reviews on here. A lot of products are getting that. Grab a can of the purple sticks or grab a box. We got a bunch of them in sale. Well, that was empty.
They're both of them. I've used them all.
Anyways, my friends, you guys have a good weekend. Have a safe weekend. Stay strong and healthy. Keep the truth going every single day. I appreciate you guys.
Hey, make sure you go to church on Sunday. And remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And, you know, while you're in church, might you want to listen a little bit? Maybe learn a few things.
If you're there, you might as well listen.
Yeah, and say a prayer for us when you're there too, please. I love you guys so much, and thanks again for your support. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here, and have a wonderful weekend.